Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show. Former UFC fighter, does a great job as an analyst for them now. Dean Thomas is going to join us coming up 40 minutes from now. We played you yesterday, Terry McLaurin speaking. And Terry McLaurin is clearly frustrated with the Washington Commanders, and he doesn't see an end in sight anytime soon. And there's a year left on the contract. He kind of threatened yesterday that he wasn't going to show up if they don't pay him. And you look at Terry McLaurin, he's done everything right with the Washington Commanders. And up until last year, it's pretty much been with a rotating door at quarterback and none of those quarterbacks really being any good. So now things are happening in Washington. You got a new owner in Josh Harris. Adam Peters seems to be like a good GM. Dan Quinn, we know, is a solid head coach. You have a guy right now that is perceived to be a top six or seven quarterback in the sport in Jaden Daniels. The sky is just going up and up and up, and the stock is just going up and up and up for the Washington Commanders, where they were a stock this time last year that no one wanted to touch. They were a team that you looked at them and you said, wow, that's just sinking money, and you're never going to make anything out of it if you invest in the Commanders. And now you can't get enough stock with the Washington Commanders. And what I appreciated what they did this offseason, even though Deebo Samuel's not the same player as he once was, even though Laramie Tunsil isn't the same player that he once was, but both could still be productive or even very productive players in the NFL, they could have sat there and rested on their laurels of a year ago, and they could have said, hey, we're not doing anything really major, but them getting Deebo, them getting Laramie Tunsil, them making a few other moves, it showed you the time to strike is now. Yeah, sure, you could tell me, oh, Jaden Daniels is on a rookie deal, and you could maybe cut corners and do all that stuff. They didn't sit there and just say, we made the NFC Championship game last year, so we'll be there again this year. That's not what they said. They said, we're going to go try to go get this thing, and maybe, like, you look at the Texans the last 2 years, right? They were down and out. Last 2 years, Texans have made the playoffs, and they have also went from the outhouse to a four-star hotel, let's say, because they've won playoff games the last 2 years. And with how impressive what the Texans have done, it's not what the Commanders have done. Because I think right now people view Jaden Daniels as a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud. And also, we saw in one postseason, the Washington Commanders go farther than the Texans have not only the last 2 years, but in the history of their franchise. And in the early 2000s, that's when they came around into the league and they drafted David Carr first overall. But you look at the Commanders right now, this is really the first problem the Isn't this funny to say? This is the first problem the Commanders have had in a while. It used to be death taxes and whatever you want to call the Washington football team or their old name before that, the Redskins or the Commanders, you know, whatever name that they went by. It used to be death taxes and how are they going to mess it up? Or what are they going to do to embarrass the league? Last year, there was no drama with the Commanders. There were no problems with the Commanders. And this offseason, for the most part, no problem with the Commanders. Now, it's okay. You have a guy who's done everything right with this franchise. He's a guy that, for a while, was your most popular player or your most respected player. And this past year, you know, he hasn't been a touchdown machine in his career. He's basically been always a 1,000-yard receiver, a little bit more than that in his career. But this past year with an actual quarterback, he had 13 receiving touchdowns. So now he has 1 year left on his deal, but it's a reminder that football's a business, right? Because you see the money that these receivers are getting paid. Garrett Wilson's a really good wide receiver. But Garrett Wilson's getting paid not only because he's a really good wide receiver, because he's young. Terry McLaurin, in early September, he turns 30. And he has this year left on his contract. So when you look at an extension, unless they just rip up the year this year, but I don't think they would end up doing that, it would be tacking on years. So I was trying to think about this on what would get the deal done. And I wouldn't play around here if I'm the Commanders. But at first I said, all right, give him $32.5 million a year. And you times that by four. And I said $4 for $1.30 would get it done. If you're Terry McLaurin, I think that if Terry McLaurin wouldn't sign that tomorrow, then what are we doing here? But then I said to myself, would the Commanders want to do that? And I don't know, and I'm just speaking out of my ass here. I don't know how much it's the money here. I would imagine the bigger debate are the years. You know, we recently talked about this. I forget who, was joining us associated with the Steelers. But it was when we talked about TJ Watt that they were saying it's probably not the money that's the issue. It's the years. So if you give Terry McLaurin a four-year deal, it's basically a five-year deal if you factor in this year. So the new contract wouldn't start until next year. So that new deal of 4 years at $32.5 million a year isn't kicking in until he's 31. So I kind of think right now, if I just have to assume, and you know what sometimes what happens when you assume, but if I had to assume, I'm going to guess it's not the money that's the big, big issue. And I think it's the years. So if I'm the Commanders, I would be fine with doing this. And if I'm Terry McLaurin, I think you have to come around to this at this point. Unless if you want to say to yourself, which Terry McLaurin could do, hey, don't tag me at the end of the year. Because the Commanders could tag him at the end of the year. Don't tag me and let me go test the market at the end of the year. Or let me talk to some teams right now, and if they want to trade for me, let me see if they'll pay me what I want. Like, you know, DK Metcalf getting traded to the Steelers, and then boom, he got that deal. But if you have to wait till next year for that contract, I think you're pretty much in the same boat this time next year that you're in right now, where teams aren't going to want to give you a four-year deal. So if I'm the Washington Commanders, this is what I would offer to Terry McLaurin. And if this gets offered from the Commanders, and if I'm Terry McLaurin, I'm accepting it tomorrow. I would offer him $100 million over 3 years. A three-year extension, $100 million. It makes you the fourth highest from an AAV standpoint in the NFL at the wide receiver position. You get your worth in terms of money. And the Commanders, even though they had to obviously pay to keep you, they don't have to go to a fourth year. I think that's a fair number. And if Terry McLaurin says, I'm not interested in a three-year deal, all right, then we could slap the tag on you next year, or you go test the market next year, and if we lose you, we lose you. But I would think that would be enough to get it done. And could you see something like yesterday where Garrett Wilson or 2 days ago gets that four-year contract, and Terry McLaurin's like, oh, now I need to get a four-year contract? Yeah, you could have Terry McLaurin thinking like that. But there's a difference with Terry McLaurin and Garrett Wilson. Regardless of who you think is the better wide receiver, one is significantly younger than the other. Terry McLaurin's about to turn 30. And I think that's the disconnect here. Because from afar, right, you look at this and you say to yourself, why wouldn't the Commanders want to pay Terry McLaurin? Right? He does everything right for the franchise. Now he has the quarterback. Things are rocking and rolling. Things are in a good spot. Why wouldn't you just nip this in the bud and get this deal done? Because I do think it's the big difference here of how many years McLaurin wants or McLaurin's representation wants. That, to me, is a major thing here. And the last time he signed the contract, it was a three-year deal. So now you're getting older, and you may want 4 or 5 years. Five's a non-starter, just to begin with. This is, if they get a deal done before week one, it's either going to be a three-year deal or a four-year deal. And the business part of it really doesn't make sense to give Scary Terry a four-year deal. A three-year deal I could work with. You're making more money than what you got last time. We're going to give you $100 million over 3 years. That makes you a top four, highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, in at number four with the AAV per year. And I think that's good. Do you think that's reasonable, Stu? Like, let me ask you, you're Terry McLaurin. Put yourself in the player's shoes. You want a four-year deal. You have a year left on your contract. I'm sitting here saying you're about to turn 30. I really have the power here, Terry, if we're being honest. Because I could slap the tag on you next year if you want. Or you could go leave, but a year from now, the next time you step on a football field, you're going to be 31. How many 31-year-olds are going to get four-year deals? So you want four now. Do you think anyone's going to give you four next year? I don't think so. Unless if you find a desperate team, and if that's the case, you know what? Now we're the Commanders, we could say this. If you're going to go find a desperate team, they're probably not a winning team. We just made the NFC Championship game last year. So, Terry, I'm going to give you a three-year deal, $100 million. Stu, if you were Terry McLaurin using a player brain, not Stu, a talk show host, or Stu behind the glass, right? Because I think both of us, you want to give me 1 year for $2 million. We'll take it right now. We'll run to the bank. Well, we'll say whatever you want. You want to sign me in a seven-year deal making $2 million a year? Yeah, we're good. But NFL-wise, using that $100 million for 3 years, does that get the job done for Terry McLaurin Kovacs?
I think so. I think with the age, and it would put him high in the AAV, I think that's, for him, the right move. Can stay with a winning team. All stuff you just said, but I think for him that would be a good move.
Now, this is ugly because it's public. And Terry McLaurin, let me ask you this. Him speaking yesterday and him kind of airing the grievances yesterday, and he made it clear they haven't spoken in a while. If we could find the audio from yesterday, maybe we should replay it here. Let me know when we get it. But him speaking yesterday, I either take it as two things. One, I take it for what it's worth. They're nowhere close, and this is him just trying to put public pressure on the organization. Or two, he feels as if this deal is not going to get done. So let me start speaking out right now, and therefore, you'll either come back to the tables and negotiate with me and give me what I want, or you'll just trade me and then I'll be elsewhere. Like, that to me, him speaking yesterday, are the two things that he's trying to accomplish. One, it's to get a deal done. Or two, I'm not calling him a malcontent, but speaking publicly like this, the organization doesn't like it. And maybe they just say, all right, we like Terry. We don't love him anymore. We got to get rid of him, even though we probably prefer to keep him for this upcoming year. This was Terry McLaurin yesterday.
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. Everything that has transpired up until this point has just been disappointing and frustrating. I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. You know, my wife and I have bought our first home here. So this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be. And just to see how things have played out has been disappointing. Obviously, I understand everything's a business. But at the same time, like, I want to put myself in a position where, you know, I'm valued and, you know, I feel appreciated and things like that. And, you know, unfortunately, that hasn't transpired the way I wanted to.
Do we have the other one as well? I know there was another clip from yesterday. I just want to play it just so we could get all that stuff out there. So if you could find that, great. If not, no problem, because I'm asking for it on the fly. But you look at this, I do think that there's a way to rectify this. And I think it's a deal that makes sense for both parties, is $100 million over 3 years. Here's one more from Terry McLaurin from yesterday.
There has to be some active discussions, you know what I mean? Like I said, we haven't talked in over a month, and obviously with camp around the corner, like, it's becoming a little bit of crunch time. And, you know, obviously you want to be in a position where you're building to what we did last year, and Jaden and I continue to build along with the offense. And that was the thing, like, before I took a step back, it was things were going great on the field, and you know, the connection and the offense and the energy was just amazing. And so to see where it was then and where it's at now is definitely disappointing. So I don't necessarily know what happens next, but without any progressive discussion, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field.
I'll tell you, he's done that in as respectful of a way and as professional of a way that you can. And that's not an easy spot to do. And what you had to say there. But I take that when you listen to both clips and both cuts. That's him saying, all right, we haven't talked in a month. That's ridiculous that they haven't talked in a month. So let's get it. Let me put some public pressure on you. And if you still don't bite, and if you still don't come around, then the question is, does Terry McLaurin take it to the next step, which it sounds like he would at the end, and either not play or just demand a trade? So I'll ask this. By week one, Samter and Stu, just give me your answers here. Do you think Terry McLaurin has a new contract by week one with the Washington Commanders? Samter.
Yes.
Sue?
No.
No. Do you then think he gets traded?
No.
So you think he just plays out the 1 year and it's ugly?
Yes.
I think he's going to get a 3-year deal before the start of the season. That would be my guess. Now, here's the other thing. Let's operate that they do have Terry McLaurin. What are your expectations for the Commanders this year? I'll start off with you, Stu.
I think there is going to be a bit of a drop-off. I don't think they're making the conference championship game again. I think they'll make the playoffs. They'll squeeze in as a wild card team.
Samter, expectations for the Commanders this year?
Wild card team. Yeah, wild card team. Maybe.
Oh, my God. You all right there? Did you almost just die on the air? You okay? You need to breathe?
I've learned how to breathe. I would say wild card team.
You should have kept the microphone on there, actually. Oh, that was a long cough that you had there. It's like you had a doctor's visit or something like that. Turn your head and cough.
I ate some almonds before the show, and I think that something got caught.
Yeah, so you got nuts stuck in your throat. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll say this. I don't think the Commanders going back to the NFC Championship game. I don't think they're winning the division. I think they're a wild card team at best. I love Jaden Daniels. I think I haven't done it yet where I've gone through all my playoff teams, but right now I'd say Eagles win the East. I would say the Lions still win the North. Bucks still win the South. Rams still win the West. I think the 49ers get into the playoffs this year. And you know what? I think right now, if you ask me today to pick the other two playoff teams, I would say Green Bay and Minnesota. I don't think that's crazy for the Commanders to miss the playoffs next year. Because if, let's say, it goes Eagles, Lions, Buccaneers, and Rams, you're looking at teams like San Francisco, Seattle, Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, Dallas, and the Commanders, those teams for three spots. So I don't think it's crazy to say that the Commanders would miss the playoffs this year. But I love me some Jaden Daniels, so I hope that he is in the playoffs. But I get this Terry McLaurin deal done tomorrow, and I make it $100 million over 3 years. All righty, we're coming on back with the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off. SEC Media Days. Josh Heupel on the quarterback situation for 2025 with Nico Iamaliava now at UCLA.
We will have a competition at the quarterback position. Three guys inside of that room. Really proud of what they've done. Joey, since he got there in May, Merklinger and George McIntyre, what those two guys have done since they've been on campus.
I like Josh Heupel. However, if you're trying to hype up this quarterback room and praise everyone, you should at least know all the names in the quarterback room when you're the head coach. Not like you're like Paul Feinbaum, some analyst on TV. You are the head coach. You're making the decision on who starts at quarterback. You know, we got this guy, we got that guy, and who's the other guy that we got? Oh, yeah, him too.
Merklinger and George McIntyre.
Be like, hey, Zach, who do you like working with? Yeah, I got Michael Samter. I got Stewart Kovacs and Hickey Ryan Hickey. Those are the guys I like working with. Let's go to Steve Sarkisian. See, now this is weird. Someone played the wrong thing yesterday. You don't think that's the case, Santer?
Either someone played the wrong thing or Sark is trolling early.
Why would he be trolling? It makes no sense for him to walk out to Texas A&M's fight song. I think there's someone, I don't know if it's an intern or it's just someone on the communication staff. They played They're probably just scrolling down to their artists, right? And it's a Texas A&M fight song, and they just saw Texas, and they didn't realize A&M was next to it. But this is Sark walking out to the A&M fight song in Media Days.
This is Steve Sarkisian. Alrighty, welcome.
Do you think Sark even knows the fight song? Just a question. I'm sure he does because they always, hear it after the game.
You think he has to, right?
I think he just goes, all right, let me just not acknowledge this blunder and just keep it moving. Let's go to Arch Manning learning how to handle the media.
I've had a lot of role models to look up to and how they deal with the media. I think Quinn did a really good job handling the media. But I'm here to play ball, and this is very much so secondary.
And let's also get Arch Manning on running into Kirby Smart at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually just ran into Coach Smart running out of the bathroom. It was weird seeing him since recruiting. I was kind of down the wire between Georgia here and Alabama. And they got really good players and excited to play them again at their place.
Now, obviously, Texas is in a great spot the last 2 years. And there's high expectations for them. But could you imagine if Arch ended up going to Alabama? I don't think Nick Saban's retired. I think Nick Saban would have to see through the end of the Arch Manning era. And then also, if he ended up going to Georgia, well, last year, when Carson Beck, let's say, gets hurt, instead of Gunnar Stockton, you're going to Arch Manning. And who even knows if Carson Beck would have been back then if Arch Manning was there? So there's a lot of good kind of questions right there when you talk about Arch Manning picking Texas, but also was considering Georgia and Alabama.
But if he went to Alabama or Georgia, you think he's sitting out for 2 years after redshirting?
That I don't know. Maybe it's a possibility at Georgia. The last 2 years at Alabama for the Jalen Milroe experience, I would probably say it would not have been on the table. I think he would have played earlier than what happened at Texas. Let's go to Tim Keenan III of Alabama. He comments on Thomas Castellanos' comments, basically just looking past Alabama and saying they're not the same anymore without Nick Saban.
Florida State quarterback chirped a little bit, and I was wondering, one, was the message received, and two, response?
Disrespect will be addressed.
Disrespect will be addressed. I think we're going to start using that around here. Anytime someone's disrespectful around here, you know, your disrespect will be addressed at the proper time. Let's go. This is about Martell Hite, and this is Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, CBS Sports, and their own two-way star, Martell Hite.
Coach Kill has had conversations with Coach Prime at Colorado to talk about, you know, what their approach was. And, you know, we've spent time on it as a staff, too, just talking through, hey, what does this look like for us? What's most important to me is, you know, we have a guy that has the ability to tip the field. Where is he going to make the biggest impact for us? And if you have 100 snaps, if it's split 50-50, that's great. You know, if it slides 70-30, either way, it's because he's going to have a broader impact on our chances of winning on one side of the ball or the other. I think that can shift week to week. It's just going to be a continuous conversation and a continuous evolution for us.
And that's the thing. Everyone's going to try to go find their next Travis Hunter. I don't think there's another Travis Hunter out there. But the thing with Travis Hunter is the incredible motor. Like, we've seen guys play both ways before. But the amount of snaps, that's a different standard. And I remember when we talked to Elijah Robinson. He has a player at Syracuse, Dimitri Samuel Jr., where there's been talked about that he's going to play both ways as well. Let's go to Kyle Schwarber. This was on the swing off. This was courtesy of Fox.
Yeah, it was awesome. The guys were really into it, and they were yelling, screaming, cheering me on every swing. And then going that last one goes over, they were all pumped. It was a lot of fun.
And I'm a fan of the swing off, and I'm fine with after two innings using the Ghost Runner in the regular season, if they end up going to the swing off after you would see what would be the 10th and the 11th inning. Let's go to Clayton Kershaw. This is him walking off the mound after getting two outs. And he did say to Big Dumper, take a seat. And then he wanted to throw some more at the way of the Big Dumper in Cal Raleigh.
There you go. Thanks, dude.
And let's go Tarek Skubal. This was the call he got from Max Fried, where I guess Max Fried gave Tarek Skubal the option to start the All-Star game.
Flaherty texts me, hey, Fried wants to call you. Can I give him your number? I go, absolutely. Like, yeah, for sure. He's one of the game's best left-handed pitchers, you know. So I didn't expect that phone call. But he called me and was basically like, hey, do you want to start the All-Star game? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to start the All-Star game. But, like, if you want to do it, go ahead. Like, I'm a fan of the game, too. I respect everything that you've accomplished in Atlanta, and you're coming home to Atlanta. So, by all means, if you want to do it, bro, go. I'm not going to get offended. I actually want to watch it. I'll drink a couple beers. I probably shouldn't have said that. And watch the game and be a fan like everybody else, you know? And I think he's earned that. It was just really cool. And he was like, no, if you want to start it, you deserve it this year. And I'm like, that's really cool, you know, because he didn't have to do that.
Now, would he have had a few beers if Max Fried started and then found his way into the game? Or was Tarik Skubal only going to pitch if he was the starter in the All-Star game? There's a loosey-goosey vibe with this All-Star game now, with Judge and Otani leaving right after they played and not even being there for the swing-off. I'll give you one more. Here's Shaquille O'Neal on his podcast. He's attacking RG3 after this whole Angel Reese post that he had.
RG3? Tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese. I'm punching your face. Huh. Okay? It's enough. Like, I don't usually do stuff like this, but just stop it, bro. You got your job. You got your podcast. Leave my Angel Reese alone. I'm the one calling her and telling her not to respond. Stop it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on Shaq's bad side. That's just me. Especially when you're not a big guy. Like RG3, he's not a big guy. Shaq, one punch. And that would not be good for RG3. All righty, that's the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let's go to Henderson, Nevada, as Michael is next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Michael, go ahead.
Zach, how you doing?
Doing great.
I wanted to bet you on the Raider-Patriots game, if possible.
In week one? What do you got cooking here? Now, like, I think my team's going to be fine this year, but I've been optimistic about them in the last 3 or 4 years, but I'm at least excited for this season.
I'm not going to tell you what I think, because I love you so much, but I want to bet you if the Raiders win, you have to root for the Giants all year.
Why the heck would I do that? What happens if the Patriots win then?
Then I'll root for the Patriots all year.
Not a good enough bet for me. Like, if you want to say I'll send you something or do something else, that's fine. But I have to then force to root for the Giants all year? Like, that's just how do you even police that?
Because I secretly want you to root for your dad's teams. You're from Long Island. I think it's time for you to come home and root for a local team.
I don't even know if my dad is a Giants fan. My dad just cares where the money is at, if we're being honest. I think the money part of sports has sucked that out of him.
Well,
I think you need to go back to the drawing board on this one, if I'm being honest.
How about just a gentleman's bet, Zach?
All right, gentleman's bet's fine with me. Not really much on the line there, but all righty. You know, just go back to the drawing board. You got enough time until, what is it, September 7th when the Patriots play the Raiders. Let's go to Elvis in Reno. All right, Elvis from Pieros. Go ahead, Elvis.
We're getting lots of calls from Nevada, buddy.
Yeah, right? Big market. I start talking Pieros. Everyone's like, ayo, let's go.
Bro, I don't know if you were just trolling on your last segment that you were doing. You really don't think Sock knows the Texas fight song?
I do think Zach. He knows it. Hold on. I do think Zach. He knows it. It was a little tongue-in-cheek. Why are you so sensitive? When did Elvis get so sensitive? Ain't nothing
you
like a song, dog.
You know why? We're not going to get into it on the air, but you know why.
No, I'm teasing you.
And then, of course, Arch didn't go to Alabama because Sock wasn't there. And Arch knows that Sark is an absolute offensive guru.
Let me tell you.
Unlike Elvis,
you sound like a Bostonian when you say Sark.
Hold on. Unlike Tony Robbins, Sark is your guru. He's your offensive guru. Come on, Zach.
Yeah, but you could make the case that without Nick Saban, we don't know what Steve Sarkisian would be doing in the head coaching world these days. You know,
I'm not doubting you for that at all. I think a lot has to be looked at as to Nick Saban understanding A, what giving someone another chance looks like, and B, how much talent that Sark has in his mind, and he's a great people person.
Yeah, just like how I'm a fan of the bone and veal chop at Piero's, I'm a fan of Sark, all right? I'm a fan of him, but I'm having a little fun here, making a little joke, and then Elvis, who I didn't realize was Sark's PR person, all of a sudden is so sensitive. Jeez.
Oh, Zach, my today's God. Today's a big day.
888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Sully. Sully's on the line. Sully, how are you, my friend?
Zach, today's a big day. I know it's July 16th, and there's really not much to talk about in sports, except do you know why it's such a big day today, Zach?
It's Mountain West Media Days, so everyone's in Las Vegas, and I'm telling them to go to Circa and Piero's.
No, it's NHL schedule release day, Zach.
That is true, and I did see that the Rangers are in Las Vegas, I think, in early November, which is not conducive to me with my busy football schedule. I was hoping that game was going to be after football season.
Why don't you just come out anyways, and we'll go to – where were we to watch the hockey game?
Cosmo? Yeah, I think it was the Cosmo Sportsbook. That was good.
I say we go to Circa. We'll go get Barry's steaks, and then we'll just go and watch the games out at Stadium Swim. We'll cannonball in our Speedos and then go eat at Barry's steaks in the basement of Circa.
That would be something if I was wearing a Speedo. That would be something.
I think you should just let your freak flag fly, buddy. Okay.
Elvis Sully, we appreciate the phone call as always. There he is, the great Sully, the man that is the artist formerly known as Elvis, or Elvis the artist formerly known as Sully, however you want to go there. Anyway, Dean Thomas going to join us next to preview the big UFC card. As we say goodbye to Dustin Poirier after this weekend, he'll be with us on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. You got it. There he is, Dean Thomas. Always love when he gets to jump on board with Dustin, chop it up with the UFC right there on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, that White House fight is going to be big. And I'll tell you, I was very uncomfortable in that conversation when he started bringing up the January 6th conversation. I almost said, the views of Dean Thomas do not reflect the views of Zach Gelb on the Zach Gelb Show. But that's going to be the big thing. Like how the sphere, we talked about the sphere. Now, all anyone's going to talk about is this White House fight to celebrate America's 250th birthday. They're going to have a whole card at the White House that was discussed last week or 2 weeks ago with President Trump and also Dana White. So John Jones, I guess, just when we thought he was done and out, the UFC sucks him back in with a fight potentially at the White House. And if Aspinall's still the champion, then yeah, give me John Jones and Tom Aspinall. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Early in the week, executives, coaches, and front office personnel, scouts gave a top 10 quarterback list. ESPN has done the same exercise with wide receivers. We'll review you the results of that list next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.